Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
We're back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So people are pretty ticked off about what's happening with Dr. Seuss books. I got to be honest with you, I was never really a fan. The Green Eggs and Ham book, I didn't really like that as a kid. I didn't like the drawings. I loved Sesame Street. I thought Sesame Street, Grover and Cookie Monster and Ernie, I thought they were cute. I didn't like the illustrations in Dr. Seuss books, but I read them because you had to read Dr. Seuss. And I forget what other books. If I had to choose a favorite Dr. Seuss book, everybody always asks you, even in job interviews, what was your favorite Dr. Seuss book? I guess my favorite book of all of them would have been the alphabet book or the A to Z book. Because when my brother, who's 15 and a half years younger than me, when I had to babysit him, my mom had bought this book, and he just loved it. And so I ended up memorizing it. Big A, little A, what begins with A, Aunt Annie's alligator, A. Big B, little B, what begins with B, Barber Baby Bubbles and a Bumblebee. So it would rhyme, and I just had it memorized. So he'd need me to read him to sleep like 7 times. I'd have to read that book, so I just memorized it. I guess I have an affinity to that one because that's the only one I remember. They were cute. I mean, should Dr. Seuss books have been so iconic? I don't know. Maybe it's because I really didn't like to read, which is kind of interesting because now I do more reading than I've ever read, right, in my life, because I have to read news and updates and medical studies. And, you know, so maybe a Dr. Seuss book could be a break. But I was just never, I was never obsessed with Dr. Seuss books. That's just me. I remember liking a couple Beezus and Ramona. When I got older, I thought John Steinbeck books were good. I liked Caulfield's Catcher in the Rye because there were some cuss words in it. I thought the Iliad and the Odyssey. I like Greek mythology stories. I just really wasn't that big with Dr. Seuss. So, as many of you have already heard, 6 Dr. Seuss books are going to no longer be published because of racist and insensitive imagery. One of his first books was And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street, and If I Ran the Zoo. And so, Dr. Seuss died back in 1991, but he was born in 1904, and he was born Theodore Seuss Geisel, or Geisel, depending on how you pronounce it. And he went to college in the 20s, married Helen Palmer. So he was alive during World War I, during, you know, obviously Prohibition. He started to do some advertisements, Quick Henry the Flit. Not sure what that means, but back in the 20s it meant something. And then his illustrations started to be accepted in books by the 1930s. His first book was published in 1937 at the start of the war. And then by 1943, he joined the United States Army Motion Picture Unit. By 54, he published Horton Hears a Who. By 57, he published The Cat in the Hat and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And then he became president of Beginner Books. 1960 was his Green Eggs and Ham debut. 1966, that's when How the Grinch Stole Christmas appeared on TV, even though it was written in 1957. He married Audrey Diamond. I'm not sure what happened with his first wife. He won a Pulitzer Prize for contributions to children's literature. He died on September 24th, 1991. And so, you know, his life spanned most of the century. I mean, what, he died at, I think, age 87? So when you look back at some of his drawings, Unfortunately, many of them would not be applicable today. They would not be seen today. There were cartoons of, and I don't even see how, I mean, it was never applicable, these things, you know, but there would be a Asian man, you know, sitting there with chopsticks, and the eyes were drawn stereotypically, and that was, I guess that was in, and to think that I saw it on Mulberry Street. If in his book, they say, If I Ran the Zoo, it has a drawing of African men that are barefooted, have grass skirts and hair tied above their heads. And so there's, when you look at the imagery, it's, okay, yeah, I get why they're going to probably cancel some of the books. Most of the presidents, through their Reading America initiative, have, you know, touted Dr. Seuss books and Dr. Seuss's role in children's literature. Biden has been the first one to actually remove the Read Across America Day embracing and adoration of Dr. Seuss. And actually, Read Across America Day usually is on March 2nd, which is when Dr. Seuss was born, Theodore Geisel. So I don't know if he ever became a doctor. I have to double check that. So, you know, I started writing a children's book, and the illustrations, of course, are the most difficult. They're the most challenging. But people, when they look back to his older work in the 30s and 40s, there was a lot of references to the Japanese because of war. There was a lot of references to Jews, apparently, Nazis. I'm not saying he was Nazi or anything like that, but these are things that they think are a little antiquated and wouldn't be appropriate now. So, you know, I don't have a lot of examples. You'll read the articles, you'll see them. But, you know, I opened the show earlier today on how, you know, I think we've made amazing progress in not perpetuating stereotypes and not, you know, perpetuating things that can look racist. And, you know, these moves with Dr. Seuss, maybe they've been a long time coming. Maybe some people think some of the books might be an overreaction. I haven't read these books that, you know, have been discussed, but the pictures I've seen, I would agree with them not, you know, being published anymore. But, you know, Golden Globes just gave Best Actor and Best Picture to Borat, which was full of, you know, anti-Jewish imagery and comments. So I would probably, you know, I think Hollywood definitely needs to kind of take a look at some of the things that they honor. That's just my opinion. 1-877-DOC-DELLY. Don't go away.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing, then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the unprecedented boom in the U.S. markets. If you're following EV stocks, then you may know that this potential $3 trillion marketplace depends on graphite for next-generation energy cells. You can get free up-to-the-minute research on the stocks that are leading the way in this red-hot sector with your free subscription to Avid Metals Research Report when you text the word HOT to 48542. Developments in the electric vehicle market are compelling. But investors know we're running short on lithium and graphite supply. Did you know we could also be running short of cobalt? Cobalt is used in chemical production and is one of the critical elements needed to make the EV power source. Research suggests there's not enough ability to mine and process the material to meet demand. We've identified a strategically well-positioned company that could lead the way in solving this critical problem. Get your free research from the Metals Research Report when you text HOT to 48542. Text HOT to 48542.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
We are back on Dr. Dolly's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason who's working the dials. Big thanks to y'all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dolly's Show. So we knew this would happen. I'm pro-vaccine, but I'm also pro-employee, and I'm pro-small business owner. So, as a doctor, it's a little difficult when you hear of these cases, and many of you have reached out saying you don't want to lose your job because you want to wait till the FDA has more time than an emergency approval for a vaccine. And, you know, it's, as I've told you as a doctor, there's two types of doctors out there. No one's wrong. There's the doctors that go with public health officials, CDC, Fauci, saying, guys, this is what we're coming up with. This is the best information we have. This is how we're going to move forward. Then you have the other doctors that take the approach of, look, you know, I was taught by the book, and I am going by the book. It was an emergency authorization. Wasn't a full-on, multi-year, you know, trial. Or the masks, you know, aren't built, these face coverings aren't built to repel a virus. And those doctors that are telling their patients the by-the-book truth, they look like they're anti-public policy. They look like they're bad people, but they're, we were taught in medicine to not lie to a patient. So you're stuck. Medical providers always kind of feel a little stuck. Because when a patient says, does something like this really stop Ebola or, you know, the flu or COVID, we can't say it 100% does because the studies only show that the N95 masks have that sort of efficacy. These help. So if a doctor says, yeah, they help, which side are they on? So I don't like there being sides. Well, employers now are kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. Employees are too. And so we now have the first lawsuit when it comes to mandatory vaccines. So I told you, many employers, they want to open up. All right, they have been hurting. These employers want to open up. And they need to show either their governor or their city officials that if there is going to be another resurgence in COVID, don't blame us, we were all vaccinated. Plus, some of them have heard that they could be sued by their employees if they don't mandate vaccines because they're not providing a safe work environment. So we're hearing more and more employers go, all right, guys, if you want to come back to work virtual, all right, you got to vaccinate. All right, we're going to probably move to mandatory vaccines, because they think that's the safest route to go to. What we talked about on the show, the other problem is can an employee sue an employer for forcing them to take a vaccine? Can an employee sue an employer if they end up taking the vaccine and having a bad side effect? Now, technically, you wouldn't sue the employer. If you have a bad side effect to the vaccine, you go to the VAERS, you go through the government. There's supposed to be a government way to track and to supposed to help you through any side effects of the vaccine. You can't sue the company. You can't sue the employer. Maybe workers' comp may kick in. But employers shouldn't be worried about getting sued if there's a vaccine side effect. But employers are worried about getting sued if they don't mandate the vaccine. Now they have to worry about getting sued if they do mandate the vaccine. Employees are also between a rock and a hard place. Many of you have said, look, I don't want to get the vaccine yet. I'm pro-vaccine. I just want to wait. Like that woman in Brooklyn who was like, look, I'm planning on getting pregnant. Should I, you know, I think she was over 36. She's like, can I just wait until I, you know, get pregnant? Or can I wait until I know, you know, because they were having some fertility issues. And she got canned. So employees are like, well, if I want to keep my job, now I have to get a vaccine that I might not trust yet. You know, and, you know, even though I got it, I said, look, I'm fine. It, you know, people always think they're going to be the one that has that side effect. And, yeah, they're still figuring out what happened with that Hong Kong person and the one in Japan. That, you know, and again, there has not been a direct link, right, to any death with those vaccines, but they are investigating it. So when people see this, they're like, well, why can't they just wait? Or wait till the FDA doesn't do an emergency approval, but a more thorough approval. Well, because employers can't wait. All right? Employers have been waiting a year for this pandemic to end, and they're going to be sued either way. And I hate seeing employers stuck between a rock and a hard place, and I hate seeing employees stuck between a rock and a hard place. So with this latest lawsuit, we don't have a lot of details, but his name is Isaac Lagaretta. And he filed a lawsuit against the Doña Ana County because he's a detention worker in New Mexico. And his employer said he'd be fired if he didn't get the COVID vaccine. Now, you know, people are probably thinking, why hasn't this already been figured out? Well, it hasn't been figured out because the flu vaccine wasn't popular in hospital arenas. And there has been debate for years of, do we mandate everybody at the hospital get a flu vaccine or not? And it was so sticky, right? Legal-wise, that many places abandoned the mandatory flu vaccine. See, me, I always got the flu vaccine, and, you know, my patients would ask, were you vaccinated? I'm like, yeah. Now, you know, patients are asking, have you been vaccinated for COVID? Yes. Doesn't mean I'm not carrying it. Doesn't mean I still can't get sick, but it makes people feel better. So as a medical provider, yeah, I'm going to do the vaccine. I think, you know, plus it kind of shows that I feel comfortable with it. Maybe other people feel comfortable with it, too. But, you know, employers couldn't mandate flu vaccine. There was not that. You had half the country enthusiastic, half the country not. So this hasn't been done. And all of a sudden now, we're trying to snap our fingers and do mandatory vaccines. And some people are pushing back. So Isaac LaGreta on Sunday filed the first known lawsuit in America that has to do with mandatory vaccines. The complaint alleges that Doña Ana County Manager Fernando Macias and his supervisor violated his rights by making a vaccine a condition of employment for first responders. So his attorney, Anna Garner, said you can't be forced to be a human guinea pig when a product is experimental. Now, she works for the nonprofit New Mexico Stands Up. Now, this was told to Bloomberg Law. So she says, we have the right to bodily integrity. Now, an attorney for the county responded to the suit, saying that the CDC and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission allows employers to mandate vaccines unless a reasonable accommodation has been approved. Now, the county attorney claimed that LaGreta hasn't presented evidence of having a qualifying condition exempting them from getting a vaccine. So this is where some employees feel stuck. Because right now, according to the CDC, you are exempted if you've ever been allergic and had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or to a component in the vaccine. But if you have a shellfish allergy, they said you could do it. If you're pregnant, they said you could do it. So this woman in Brooklyn who's like, but I'm trying to get pregnant and I don't know about its effects on fertility. It hasn't been studied. That wasn't a good enough exemption, got fired. So the exemptions are hard to come by. People are frustrated because, like, Dr. Dahlia, what can I do? You know, what exemption is allowed if the CDC doesn't list it? Well, we still haven't studied it. We don't know what the effect could be on fertility and all that. We're assuming it's not going to do much based on the way these vaccines are designed and what the mRNA is supposed to do. It's not really supposed to affect sperm. It's not supposed to affect ovulation. But I get how some people are saying, but look, I'd like it studied. So this lawsuit could get thrown out, or it could set a precedent. The problem I have with any of this is business owners can't be stuck between a rock and a hard place. They can't be threatened to be sued if they don't mandate vaccines. They can't be threatened to be sued if they do. All right, you have to give some wiggle room. There has to be something that allows, same thing with employees. You know, employees want to work. They want to, they'll mask, they'll social distance, but they might not want to get something injected into them. In America, does the Constitution protect them? I believe there was a lawsuit a while back, like decades ago, about the smallpox vaccine, and they ruled against the employees saying in a public health crisis, you can be forced to get vaccinated. But as I said, you know, last year and a few years ago with MMR vaccine and flu vaccine, and mind you, I'm pro-vaccine, I don't see how the Supreme Court can rule against an employee or against a person who wants to hold off something getting injected into their body. So we'll see where this goes. 1-877-DOCTOR.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Merck will help Johnson & Johnson manufacture its one-dose COVID-19 vaccine. The partnership will reportedly use the powers of the Defense Production Act to give Merck the priority it needs to ramp up its facilities for production. Merck and Johnson & Johnson are two longtime pharmaceutical rivals, both headquartered in New Jersey. Brian Thomas is with UPS. He tells CBS News as they continue to push out the J&J vaccine, they're also shipping the other vaccines as well.
And so while we're excited to have the new volume come on board, and that represents another provider, we absolutely can't lose track and sight of all of the other responsibilities we have for the existing two providers.
FBI Director Christopher Wray testifying on Capitol Hill regarding the January 6th attack on the Capitol. And you're listening to USA Radio News. Senator Elizabeth Warren wants to see a wealth tax on the richest Americans. The Massachusetts Democrat telling reporters it would generate more revenue and opportunity. She's bringing up legislation that would impose a tax on those worth more than $50 million. Grover Norquist is the president of Americans for Tax Reform. He tells CNBC this is not a good move.
You want to? You reduce the capital gains tax. Every time we've reduced the capital gains tax rate, higher income people have paid more in taxes, and you've had more growth, and there have been more jobs for everybody. So if you're into hate and envy, go ahead and do the wealth tax. There's a rather selective discussion about where the wealth tax has succeeded. 15 countries have put in a wealth tax. 11 got rid of them because they discovered how dysfunctional it was.
Vernon Jordan, a civil rights leader whose pragmatism and charisma gave him access to corporate boardrooms, congressional leaders, and the White House, died Monday at the age of 85. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI. 1-877-DOC-DALI. So Governor Cuomo has now been accused by a third person of unwanted advances that occurred back in 2019. This is according to the New York Times. So this is obviously adding to an escalated crisis facing the governor. Two previous sexual harassment allegations. And there was a picture that the New York Times published where he had both his hands on her neck and around her neck and face like he wanted to kiss her. I think he asked her to kiss him. And, you know, whenever a man who's kind of bigger than you, you know, kind of has his hands around your face and head, you're kind of a captive audience. It's not very easy to get out of that. And so it's not considered playful by any means. It's actually a more aggressive. I, you know, posted that on Twitter. I think everybody is innocent until proven guilty. You're innocent first. I think everybody has a right to defend themselves. I think, women have a right to be heard. Anybody has a right to be heard that, you know, feel they were victimized, but I don't want anybody lying. But when you look at, you know, some of the pictures and, you know, you see, some of the tests or the accounts, it just kind of makes you wonder how much longer Cuomo's going to be able to still stay in office. So the New York Times reported that a third woman has come forward. The woman, Anna Rutsch, told the Times that Cuomo approached her during a crowded wedding reception in New York in 2019. She told the newspaper she thanked Cuomo for his toast to the newlyweds, and in response, she says he put his hand on her bare low back. And apparently she was in an open back dress. She removed his hand. Cuomo allegedly told her she seemed aggressive as he put his hands on her cheeks. Cuomo then asked if he could kiss her. And she distanced herself as he came closer. She said, "I was so confused and shocked and embarrassed. I turned my head away and I didn't have words in that moment." So she was later told by a friend that Cuomo had kissed her cheek as she pulled away. Now, of course, this is coming from CNN. They have not verified the allegations against the governor. And, there's just some pictures of him holding her around the face. And people have been calling for Cuomo to resign. New York Representative Kathleen Rice, a Democratic U.S. House member, has demanded that the governor step down, so this isn't a, you know, Republican versus Democrat thing. And she joins other Democratic state lawmakers, including Senators Alessandra Biaggi, Gustavo Rivera, Assemblywoman Jessica Gonzalez Rojas, who have said that Cuomo should leave office in the wake of these allegations. And Bill de Blasio, the New York mayor, he doesn't like him. He obviously, they haven't look like they were real buddies, so my guess is, he's not a fan. And I think even Hillary Clinton spoke out. Now, Rush is the first woman to make an accusation against Cuomo who did not work for him. The other two women, Lindsay Boylan and Charlotte Bennett, were both aides in the Cuomo administration. So that's another reason why nobody thinks this is a witch hunt coming from the GOP, because the first two, you know, ladies were within the administration. So Governor Cuomo has not responded to CNN's requests. His brother, Chris had to make a statement. I see how Chris Cuomo is a little difficult spot. Chris Cuomo is obviously the younger brother, and he and I think the older brother got an Emmy. For their back and forth. Right, because he's younger brother and older brother, and he was a lot older. So anyway, there was some back and forth. And Chris Cuomo has been kind of under fire himself for not talking about it. In fact, CNN, I don't know how soon they jumped on the story as opposed to others. And Governor Cuomo had said, "To be clear, I never inappropriately touched anybody. I never propositioned anybody. I never intended to make anybody feel uncomfortable. But these are allegations that New Yorkers deserve answers to." Cuomo had said, Governor Cuomo, that his comments may have been insensitive or too personal. He said he was truly sorry to those who might have, quote, misinterpreted the remarks as an unwanted flirtation. Now, I hate when people say that. Because, you know, when you look at the picture, I mean, that's not somebody misconstruing the flirtation. We spoke about this yesterday, how there are some people who never get spoken to by people who, you know, of, you know, either gender, let's say, and somebody comes in and says, you know, "Look, can you take care of this file?" And you say yes, and they go, "You know, thank you, man, you're always on top of it." And all of a sudden, they're like, "Oh my gosh, he likes me." So yes, there are misinterpretations. But when you start looking at some of the pictures, you're like, is this really a misinterpretation? Bennett is a 25-year-old former executive assistant and health policy advisor to Cuomo. She told, I believe, New York Times that during one of several uncomfortable encounters, Cuomo asked her questions about her sex life during a conversation at a state capitol office and said he was open to relationships with women in their 20s. And Cuomo, of course, denied allegations. And then Attorney General Letitia James may be moving forward with an independent investigation. James said it's not a responsibility we take lightly, as allegations of sexual harassment should always be taken seriously. Now, the former governor wanted one of his former federal judges to lead the probe, or have James and New York's chief judge jointly select an independent attorney to conduct a thorough and independent review. But James demanded that she alone would run the investigation by choosing an outside law firm that would be granted subpoena power. So CNN anchor Chris Cuomo, who's 50 years old, opened up his show on Monday saying that, look, obviously, I am aware of what's going on with my brother, and obviously, I cannot cover it because he is my brother. Now, of course, CNN has to cover it. They have covered it extensively and will continue to do so. CNN was under some fire that they might be going light on Cuomo with all this because Chris is there within, you know, their, you know, he's a lead anchor. So then he said he thanked his audience for being straight with me. He said, I've always been straight with you. He says, I've always cared very deeply about these issues and profoundly so. And then he kind of talked about how there is news and other things going on. And, you know, so basically what he was saying, what the brother was saying is, look, there's other news. So I'll cover the other news. CNN will cover what's going on with my brother. And that's kind of the best way we're going to deal with it. Can we move on? So it is tough. You know, when you're in the media and, you know, you want to help. And you, but, you know, all eyes are on, you know, how, you know, media that is more liberal-leaning will approach something that they were so vehemently, you know, adamant against when it came to the Brett Kavanaugh hearing. And so are they going to have consistency? That's what everybody wants from media. They want to know consistency. They want to know that media is colorblind, is politics blind, that they will just do exactly, I don't like using the word blind, but where they are going to treat, you know, treat every allegation the same. They're going to, you know, that's what, and it doesn't happen that way. So, do I think Cuomo should step down? I mean, here's my thing. You're innocent until proven guilty, but I am so shocked at what happened with the nursing home scandal that if they can finish with that investigation and prove that that was horrendous, the sexual harassment allegations, that investigation could go on for a long time. And so there's always that question, well, if somebody is accused of sexual harassment, are they still fit for office? Well, if they're found guilty of being a predator, no. If they're found innocent, then, you know, do you remove them or not? If they're innocent, they still keep their job. My problem with all of this is there was hardly any attention being put on what happened with the nursing home deaths. If that really was the case, where he has executive powers that can unfortunately force, you know, nursing homes that can't take sick people to take sick people, to me, that would be enough for him to have to step down. Because I think the sexual harassment allegations are going to keep coming, and that's, that could be going on for years. 1-877-DOCTOR-LA.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The time is now to capitalize on the electronic health data security in the American market. Electronic health data security is an industry that could potentially grow to around $25.5 billion a year. Global big data in healthcare was a $14 billion market in 2018 and could potentially grow at a combined annual growth rate of 20% to reach $42.8 billion over the next 4 years. Find out which companies are leading leading the charge now when you text the word NOW to 48542 for your free research from Avid Health Sector Insights. We've identified an undervalued company that could be positioned to benefit from the electronic health security boom in the U.S. markets. Get this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. Get your report now when you text NOW to 48542. Text the word NOW to 48542 for your free research from Health Sector Insights. Text the word NOW to 48542.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Hello, I'm a bald person, which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not so convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I save plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So how many of you let your kid have some of your beer? Right. It's something that all dads like to do, especially dads like beer. Maybe not all of them. Right. Sharing a beer with their kid. Kid gets so excited. They just, you know, like, oh, my gosh, I get to drink beer with daddy. For us, it's interesting. You know, we're Jewish, and so we have wine for the Sabbath, and we drink a little wine. Yeah, there's grape juice for the kids, but when during the bris, when kids are getting their circumcision, right, by 8 days old, many times the rabbi will soak a little gauze into some manischewitz and then put it in their mouth and they'll suck on that. And yeah, it's a very sweet, you know, alcohol, and the kids suck on that. We aren't using lidocaine. We're not having to put them under anesthesia. The brisket's done within seconds, and it just seems to be, you know, much less barbaric than, you know, we've been having to put kids through the half-hour procedure. The way they used to do the brises, that's the way they used to do it. When I was little and I had a cough, my mom would give me some brandy because grandma told her to do that. Many cough syrups had alcohol. So kids have gotten alcohol, you know, in the olden days when they were younger. I never specifically gave my kids alcohol until I was sitting there with another two doctors. I was sitting there with a pediatrician and a surgeon. We were talking. We were up in at a cabin. And just kind of talking outside and watching the kids play. And I had a beer, and, you know, everybody kind of had a beer. And my older son was probably maybe 6 years old, was running around, runs over to me, and I didn't even notice, grabs the bottle, drinks a bunch, because I guess he was thirsty, hands the bottle back, keeps running. And I, by the time I realized what happened, he had already run, right? Everybody kind of looks at each other like, what just happened there? Did he just drink part of your beer? And he didn't notice it. He's just running around. He's all whatever. So we never in my family had to do the big, okay, now you're going to get to have a beer with daddy. We never made a big deal about the first drink because the kids snuck. I mean, it was something that they saw. They, you know, and they accessed unwittingly, not by my permission, but they accessed it, except for sometimes the Jewish wine they would get in temple. They, you know, and it was, all right, well, no big deal. So it wasn't that big a deal. So when my son turned 21 on Friday, we made a big deal about him getting carded. We went to dinner before he went out with his friends, and hubby tells the waiter, card him. You know, so the waiter cards him, and, you know, my son felt really good being able to show, you know, his card and all that. And I think my son would have felt better not getting carded, but at least I was able to catch it on film, you know, how my son is legit. But luckily for my kids, they don't like the taste of alcohol. And so I don't worry that they're going to, you know, become, you know, addicted to it or dependent on it. Of course, things can change. And when I was younger, the adage of, well, you know what, don't make it such a big deal. And, you know, if kids get exposed to it, it's not going to be like, yay, I'm 21, I'm going to get drunk for the first time in my life. Well, about 10, 15 years ago, research came out saying, no, don't introduce young kids to alcohol. It's bad for them. And it will cause them to booze a little bit more heavily later in life. And now we have another study saying the same thing. U.S. researchers found that children given a taste of alcoholic beverage were more likely to see alcohol in a positive light and go on to drink more alcohol as adults. Meanwhile, those who start drinking early are also more likely, they say, to fail at school, have behavior issues, substance problems in adulthood, and previous research has suggested that. So in Great Britain, 1 in 6 British parents allow their child to drink alcohol before the age of 14. That was a study that came out of the University College of London and Penn State. They said 17% of UK parents have let their children drink alcohol by the age of 14. They say they were well-educated parents of white children were also most likely to allow their children to drink at that age. Professor Jennifer Mag said, the study's lead author, parents of socially advantaged children may believe that allowing children to drink will teach them responsible use and may, in fact, inoculate them against dangerous drinking. That study was published in the Journal of Adolescent Health. This current study comes from Maryland, Bethesda, Maryland, And they found that underage drinking is a serious societal concern, yet relatively little is known about children sipping it. And they said providing sips of alcohol to children is associated with them having more favorable expectations about drinking. Drink Aware strongly advises an alcohol-free childhood. That's as recommended by the UK chief medical officer, and I believe in America also. And, by the way, it is, I think, illegal. It's called, what, contributing to the delinquency of a minor? To give children alcohol if they're under, I don't know if this is in the U.S., but if you give alcohol to somebody under 5, that might be a UK rule. If you sell alcohol to somebody under 18, you're in trouble. So, what do you think? 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. When parents ask me about marijuana, they'll say, look, if my kid tries it, I'm like, no. So I'm not a fan of kids trying marijuana because I think once they do try it, then they know they could like it. And sometimes with drugs, you just have to have that, I'm not going to touch it, I'm not going to try it, I'm not going to try it. For me, though, it was different. My grandma smoked, so I did try her cigarettes. My grandma was like, you want to try? And my mom knew. My mom knew I tried the cigarette. But when I told her I didn't like it, it relieved her. And, I had very strict parents. And I would rather they not always be guessing and thinking that I'm doing something. I'd rather put it to rest. And I go, Mom, I tried one of Grandma's cigarettes. It was horrible. I don't think I'm ever going to do that. I don't like the taste. I didn't cough. And it wasn't that bad, honestly. But I didn't like it. I was like, why do I have to do this? And then my grandfather on his deathbed had made me promise that I would never smoke on my dad's side. And I was like, I made him a promise. I won't smoke. I'm not going to smoke. So that was, that kind of put that to rest. But, with alcohol, I think a lot of parents, instinctively think that, if we make this look so taboo, kids are going to want it more. And I think the reason why parents think that is because alcohol isn't considered taboo in society. I don't know if you've seen the Truly commercials and the, is it called White Claw? And all these new alcohol and seltzers and Bud Light seltzer. You could tell kids smoking's bad, drugs are bad, but then they turn on the TV and it's all about beer commercials. So I think a lot of parents, they see these studies, and I agree with these studies. It really doesn't make kids want alcohol less. So why, give them that? So, but I understand why parents are saying, look, I mean, if they have all that anticipation, they might go crazy on their 21st birthday. I'm going to tell you right now, when kids turn 21, it doesn't matter what you did when they were 14 or not. They're going to party it up. So I look at it as, is it going to make a kid more addicted to alcohol? I mean, it could, because it shows, well, my parents drink, so I'm okay to drink. Maybe, but I'm more concerned with kids really don't need alcohol. Their livers are, developing. And by the way, so my kid, I tracked him down and I made him drink a lot of water. And I was like, we got to flush that out. And I said, bad boy. I'm like, you're not supposed to touch that. That was mommy's. He didn't know. He thought it was root beer. Cause it was like a Bud Light and he probably thought it was root beer. And he didn't even know what he drank until after he drank it. You know how it takes a while for you to taste something when you eat it quick, drink it quick? So personally, I think it's, kids are just inundated with beer, all these beer commercials. So, people will drink, And now that they're making, hard liquor, like hard seltzer, that's going to just sell like crazy. 1-877-DOC-DALI.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.